Exodus chapter 20. I want you to read with me out loud verse number 12, please. Everyone now. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now go to the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read together verses 1, 2, and 3. Verses you probably have memorized, but we'll look at the Word of God and read them out loud together. Ephesians 6, verses 1, 2, and 3, reading with me out loud, please. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Tonight I want to bring a message simply entitled, The First Commandment with Promise, taken right from our scripture. And Heavenly Father, I ask you now to help me to speak clearly. Help me, Lord, to speak in such a way that it's understandable. And I pray that you give us understanding. Thank you for Mother's Day, for all the mamas that got properly honored today. We thank you, Lord, for that goodness. And now, Father, meet with us tonight and teach us from your word, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Children, no matter what age, are herein commanded to honor their mothers and fathers. It's not just talking about little kids. And it's not just talking about kids that are still living at home. This says children. So it's speaking of kids when they grow up as well. Just like Bill Harvey would sing, kids grow up, kids grow up. When you put the right things in them, then one day they will show up. Kids grow up. And so kids are always kids. And my children are always my children, no matter how old they are and no matter how old I get. In that this is Mother's Day, we're going to leave off honoring dads and simply focus on moms. But dads, we can learn from this as well. Moms are not perfect, and neither can they be. But thank God for moms. The only perfect person that ever walked the earth was the Lord Jesus. That's it. And the bottom line is this, he never sinned. He never could sin. Did not have a nature to sin. None of us are that way. Even Adam and Eve chose to sin, something Jesus could not have ever done. And even though Job is called a perfect man, it speaks not of his holiness as far as sinlessness or not being able to sin. It simply meant that he was mature in the Lord and growing in the Lord, which is you can clearly see when you read about the life of Job. And so I've written some things down that are my own thoughts, and maybe you can relate to them. A child should never have to wonder if his mom is doing wrong. I think that's the right thing. They should never sit back and say, I wonder what mom's doing tonight. A child should never have to wonder if mom is out drinking and taking drugs. In my bus route in Chicago, we visited in the home of some of our children that rode the bus, and we asked where mom was. They said, she's down at the bar. Well, I did something up to that point I'd never done in my life. I marched down to that bar, walked in, and sat down in the booth right across from her. Talked to her about her responsibility for her children. No, I did not order anything to drink. I did not order anything alcoholic, obviously, and I did not order anything that was just soda pop. But I talked to her in the bar. A child should never have to wonder if his mom is out running with the wrong crowd. A child should never wonder if his mom is at the bar or at the nightclub. A child should never wonder if his mom is running around on dad. A child should never have to wonder if his mom is squandering the finances. Every mom should strive to be all that she can be for the Lord and for her family. And it's only right, and it's not asking too much for a mom to do that for her family. And however, today I do not want to address the moms rather than the children. And all of us have had moms and all of us have been children. So I want to address us tonight as because we've all grown up in a home, whether we had a mom and dad or just a mom or maybe even just a dad. And though mothers are admonished to be honorable, children are commanded to honor them. Let me say it again. Though mothers and fathers are admonished to be honorable, children are commanded to honor them. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1, 2, and 3. I was thinking about a scripture song. Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Started off a little low, didn't I? But that's a good one. But you change keys while you're singing it. Learned it many, many years ago, probably 50 years ago, heard that and learned it. It's a good song. And so, honor cannot be demanded from children. It has to be bestowed upon them. It's always been my desire, as long as I can remember, to bring honor to my mom. She's in heaven now, and she's enjoying the perfection of God's glory. She's in heaven now and enjoying the presence of the Lord Jesus. She's in heaven now and in fellowship with her husband, with her parents, and with her brothers who preceded her in the journey. She's in heaven now, and the love of her son she never met. When I think about that, I was in Indianapolis and went to the grave. It's still an unmarked grave. It's just got a little place that's there. Dad never put a marker on it, really. And little Roy Parton was his name, and he never saw the light of day. He was stillborn. But because of the fact that she is in heaven, now I can no longer honor her in life, but I can honor her with my life, you see. I can't invite Mom here for Mother's Day or take her out to eat or anything. I can't even send her a card anymore. There's no postage that'll take it to heaven. There's nothing like that. I can't pray to her. And because the truth is, the only one you pray to is the Lord Jesus. What did the Old Testament prophet say? Or he said, well, whom have I in heaven beside thee? The only one that can hear and answer our prayers is the Lord. So when I think about that, to honor one's mother is probably best defined by knowing its opposite. I'd like you to take your Bible, if you would, quickly, and go to Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16. Sometimes in studying your Bible, you learn from what it says, and then you learn from the opposite of what it says to get a full meaning, which is what we will do now. In Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16, the Word of God says, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Say, Pastor, what in the world does that mean? You've heard the phrase, making light of something. He that setteth light is someone who does not honor his parents. Makes it as a light thing. It's the exact opposite of to honor, but to set it light, to make light of them, you see. And all of us in this room have made light of something or other in our lives, every one of us. It wasn't important to us. And the Bible says here that a man or a woman who is cursed, who setteth light, his parents. Very interesting. And so, the word honor is interesting. It says, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and the people shall say amen. But the word honor that we find in Exodus 20 and verse 12, and that we find in Ephesians chapter 6, is a word which literally means to make heavy. It's the opposite of setting light. To make something heavy. It means to make it heavy. Well, setting light means to make light of or to be lightly esteemed. And so the Bible says we're not supposed to make light of them, but we're supposed to honor them, which is to make them a heavy thing in our lives. Something very, very important. Something that carries a lot of weight, not just physically, of course, but it's talking about how important they are in our lives. A lot of young people today can take or leave their parents. It ought not be that way. They don't need to be setting their parents at light, but they need to honor them, to make them a heavy thing, as it should be. But how can a child of God truly honor his mother, according to Exodus 20:12, and according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2? I've written down some very simple thoughts, but I believe they carry the meaning of honor the way that it should be, and the opposite of setting light. Number one, if you're taking notes with numbers, first of all, honor God's will. Say, what do you mean by that? Ephesians 2:10 simply says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a plan for each of our lives. When you got saved, God didn't save you to sit soaking sour in your salvation and eternal security. He saved you with a purpose in mind. And that's part of God's will. You see, and what is the purpose of our existence? Well, even in the Old Testament, speaking of Israel and applying to us today, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7 says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. All that for God's glory. He made you. He created you. He caused you to be born for his glory, not for your own. That's what the Bible makes clear. It's interesting, even in the New Testament, the Word of God says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, you see. Interesting about this verse in Isaiah 43:7, I've explained it numerous times over the years. It bears repeating, for some have never heard it, some have never paid attention to it, and some will remember it well when I give it to you now. When he says he created us for his glory, that word create literally has to do with conception. That's the reason you were conceived. You see, God has no illegitimate children, never has had any illegitimate children. And because the Bible says that God is the one who opens and closes the womb. People might make mistakes. They might get involved immorally, but it is God who opens or closes the womb. We were conceived for God's glory. And then the Bible says, he says, yea, he says, I have created thee for my glory. That's conception. Then he says, I have formed thee. That's your form. That's what you look like. That's how tall you are. That's how your build is. That's the kind of voice you have, the color of eyes you have, the complexion of your skin, all the rest of that. That's your how he formed you. And he gave you that for his glory. You say, oh, I wish I was taller. I wish I was shorter. I wish I was this. I wish I was that. No, no, no. He gave you, he wanted somebody just like you, and that's why you're here. And that's why you are you, you see. And then the last thing that he says, I have formed thee, he says, yea, I have made him. And the word made is very interesting because he says, that's the circumstances I have brought and allowed into your life. That's why you were born in the family you were born into. That's why you have the parents you have. That's why you've had the difficulties and the blessings in your life all the way along. That's why you've had certain difficulties, things you did not understand. Why? Because God allowed it, or God brought it into your life for his honor, for his glory, that he might be lifted up, that he might be glorified in you with all the circumstances that he gave you. You see, that's our purpose for being here, is to bring glory and honor to God. And the truth is, Isaiah 53:6 shows us that we have the will to choose our own way. But God created us with his will in mind. Isaiah 53:6 simply says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I look at that and I've often thought, you know, that means I've turned away from God in a sinful way. No, it doesn't say that. What it says is I just simply chose my own way. That's all. It might not be a wicked, evil, sinful, debaucherized life that I choose. It just might not be God's will. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray. All of us have gone astray. And all of us have turned our own way. But God has a will for us. And if you're going to honor your parents, if you're going to bring honor to them and not set them at light, you honor God's will. Jesus said in John 6:38, he said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Why was Jesus here? He was here to do his Father's will. And we were created to do the Father's will. We were conceived to do the Father's will. We were brought into this world where we were brought into this world to bring glory to God. And Jesus said that's the very reason he came, was to bring glory to his Father and to accomplish that will. And if you are born again, if you are saved, I mean, if you are blood washed, if you are on your way to heaven, if you've been forgiven of your sin and you are a born again believer, it is God's will that you do his will and not your own. He bought us. Very amazing thing. You got to give the Lord veto power in your life to say no to the things that you may want to do. Give the Lord veto power to, when you want to go your own way, to tell you, no, you can't do that. That's not the way you're supposed to go, you see. You got to make him first in everything. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye what? First the kingdom of God, and what? His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, making him first. I've talked many times, and I don't have it on tonight. I have an American flag on this evening. But I care, on most of my coats, suit coats that I wear on Sundays, I have a little button that simply says, Jesus first. It was way back when Jerry Falwell was giving them away.
And I've had a number of them over the years. And I wear it, but I don't wear it just to show. I wear it because it's my desire that Jesus is first in my life above everything else. Always seek to honor God's will, and that is to never make light of God's will, you see. So first of all, honor God's will. Secondly, honor God's work. What do I mean by honoring God's work? John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus said that's God's will for his life. See, so most of my life now, I have lived a long way from where I grew up. I was born in Tennessee. Oh, and by the way, I'll never give up my southern roots. I just want you to know that. Because from now, every now and then, people say, "Where are you from?" And I don't ever tell them I'm from Indiana. I grew up in Indiana, but I was born in Tennessee. And I'll look straight at them and I'll say, "I'm never going to give up my southern roots. I'm still a Tennessean all the way, Tennessee born." But they will say that. But I've always lived, listen, for many years now, I've lived a long way from my home where I grew up, from my mom and dad. My dad said numerous times, and I'm going to quote him here. My dad would say, "Son, I'm so happy that you serve the Lord. I wish we lived closer. But you're doing the will and work of God, and that is most important." And then he would end it off by saying, "I wouldn't have it any other way." That made me feel pretty good that my dad wanted me to accomplish God's work in my life. He said, we live a long way, hours and hours from a home in Indiana, growing up there. I think about this. I lived in Indiana. Oh, goodness, I lived in my home until I was 18 years of age. And then I went off to college, and I went up to Minnesota, and then transferred in January of 1975 down to Hiles Anderson College in Indiana. I was still closer to my parents. But in the ministry, I've been a long way from home for a long time. It was nice to know that my dad and my mom were not dragging me down saying, "Oh, son, you need to be closer to home." Listen, there's many times I wished I could have been closer to home, especially when my mom got sick in 1988. And then she passed away in the year 2000. And we were a long way from that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, there's times that I wish that I would have been closer. But my dad's words rang in my ears. "Son, I'm so happy that you serve the Lord. I wish we lived closer. But you are doing the will and work of God, and that is most important. I wouldn't have it any other way." My heart was blessed by that. My parents were always comforted in knowing that their son was smack dab. That's a southern phrase, isn't it? A smack dab in the middle of God's will, doing the work of God that God called him to do. And now that both of my parents have gone to heaven, I think they rejoice up there. For there is rejoicing in heaven over some things that happen down here. Just how much of God's work are you doing? When you think about this, God created you. God formed you. God made you. He brought you into this world for his honor and glory. And then he wanted us to accomplish his will. Yes, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, not our own. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I was conceived for his honor and glory, which means the work that I do, no matter what it is. Listen, I've not always been in full-time ministry. That happened in 1979 when I went into it full-time. Before that, I worked everything from making mufflers from Midas to welding and working on a train track and working in a drugstore and working on a college campus and so many other things that I did. But whatever I was doing, as the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. So no matter what you're doing in life, the end result is to bring honor and glory to God. And so how are we going to honor our folks? How am I going to honor both of my parents who are in heaven now? I mean, my dad passed in 2015. My mom passed in the year 2000. How can I honor them? By honoring God's will for me, which my dad said he was glad. And then honoring God's work, which my parents were very thankful that I was doing the work of the Lord. When I think about that, never make light of the work of God. For the will of God will always entail the accomplishing of that work, and this is the work of God. We should take that very seriously, whatever we do. That's whether you're an usher, a sound man, a maintenance individual, whether you wash a window, vacuum a floor, or wash a toilet, doesn't make any difference. Whether you cut the grass, or whether you weed the garden, or whatever it might be, you do all to the glory of God. Why? Because that honors your folks. There's not a parent in the world who's thankful for a rebellious son or daughter who has wasted their lives. And what we can do, whether our parents were good or whether our parents failed in that area, and I don't mean they didn't do everything we thought that they ought to do. I mean, if our parents, like the one lady said to me in our church auditorium, well, how do you honor a mom who's not honorable? And my simple answer was this. I said, you turn out right. You turn out right. You honor the will of God in your life. You honor the work of God in your life. And plan to do it until you die. Honor thy mother is a command to be heeded. Are you bringing honor to your mother? Are you bringing honor to your parents, whether they are living or not? You can honor her by doing just two simple things. Honoring God's will in your life. And honoring God's work in your life. And this will honor her more than a ring, a meal, or anything special that you can do. On this Mother's Day 2026, just determine whether your folks are living or not. Both of my parents are gone. Both of Robin's parents are gone. They're in heaven. We can't invite them over for Mother's Day or Father's Day. We can't even send them a card for Mother's Day or Father's Day. We can't invite them to a special meeting of any kind. But what we can do is honor God's will and honor God's work in our lives. And I know that pleases not only the Father, but it pleases our mothers and fathers as well. Mother's Day 2026, determined to honor your mother, living or dead, saved or unsaved, by being the kind of son or daughter that God would have you be.